I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
The Mixcast, and my name is Steve Mix, and I am here with the Reverend Enfuego.
Hello.
He is the man about town. That's right.
Yeah, buddy.
And then the man on the hog. Glenn Cannon.
Yeah.
High on the hog.
It's already in a million pieces. I don't know if you saw my old book of faces.
No.
You already broke it?
Not in breaking.
What happened?
I won't geek out too much. It is a known issue with all 06 Dynas. The inner primary bearing fails prematurely. I bought the bike knowing that bearing was screwed up.
Oh. That happened to me when I was 13.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, I know, yeah. And I was told it wouldn't happen to me until I was 18. It happened to me when I was 12. But, so yeah. I bought the bike knowing that that was messed up. So I went after fixing it this weekend and was making great progress right up until I destroyed the bearing trying to get it seated in the inner primary case.
Little WD-40 and
dude,
I walked out and fixed that, right?
I just fell to my knees and went, no.
No.
There was no screaming. There was no yelling. Like, I was too defeated for that.
I've done that before. I just look at something. I'm just like, you won.
So I rode the hell out of it for like 2 weeks. Like, I rode it so much Saturday, I got a goddamn sunburn, you know. But it's in a million pieces right now.
Wow. Well, I hope it comes back.
Yeah, after I ruined the bearing I was trying to install, I ordered another one, you know. So it's on the way.
It sounds like Thanos got a part of it.
Snap it.
Just gotta try again.
And we are also joined by our good friend from Lion Pride Music, Lion Pride Party Buses, Levi Lion.
What up?
He's also here with David and Cortland. Cortland, David, good to see you guys as well.
Hi, guys.
Whoop. Levi, my man.
What up? It's good to be here, man.
Always great
Thanks
to see you.
Thanks for having me.
You know you always have an open door.
Yeah. Just trying to get
here
in here.
Here, my house in Puyallup. Just feel free. Just walk in whenever.
Yeah, I've tried that open door thing, man. He has mixed feelings depending on when you use it.
Right? Well, I'm cool. It's when my wife is home. She thinks it's kind of weird.
Especially when you show up with a party bus with 30 rowdies in front of it.
And a bunch of my hockey players urinating on my front lawn.
That happened.
It did. And I remember looking at them. Three of them standing outside of my house, just peeing on the front lawn. Yeah, I see them in the window, and I walk out, and I'm like, I have bathrooms. Two of them. Actually, I have three bathrooms.
It's just not the same, Steve. You know, something about peeing outdoors.
All three are empty. The
it's
three
liberating.
Of you could walk right into a bathroom with no weight.
When in wa.
And then I'm looking at them, and it's just like, finally I look at Munson, I'm just like, how old are you? And he goes, I'm 27. I'm like... Gosh,
you
I see, hate
man, every dog in your neighborhood now knows, like, oh,
donkeys were here.
That yard doesn't belong to me. That yard belongs to the donkeys. And that's what's up, dude.
And this is at 9 in the morning, so it's like everybody's
up. It's good. It's good.
Coffee's going.
Neighbors are looking at my, like, what is up with this giant murdered out party bus and three grown men peeing out front of our neighbor's house?
Kind of incredible.
Yeah. All right. Well, Levi, I know you've got some crazy stuff going on, and we haven't seen you in a while, and I know we've talked over text, and we did a whole podcast about Grizz just because of how much, you know, just heartbreaking that we've lost such a good man. And then I know you got some stuff going on.
Big love to Grizz, and thank you guys so much for the plugs and for all of your support. And even like the Showbox did a big thing. You know,
I saw
They put, you know, Grizz's name up there. We love you, Grizz. You know, across the Showbox reader board, that was just again so much family support, man. It's been great to just talk about it. So his memorial's coming up here on August 12th. We're doing the big classic Moonfest camp out on the island, or out near the island, out in the peninsula, up in Quilacene. So that'll be here on the 10th and the 11th of August, as he wanted to do a camp out for his birthday this year, and all of his friends still wanted to kind of continue that. So we're gonna honor the camp out. We got this big grizzly mass, this big giant wood carved grizzly head that was donated to us. So Grizz is still gonna ride with us on the big party bus out to Quilacene for the Classic Moon Fest, and then his memorial at Jazz Bones on Sunday the 12th will be from 1 to 5 p.m. up at Jazz Bones.
So I know a lot of people who listen have been touched by him in some way, shape, or form. So on the 12th at Jazz Bones, go on down and pay your love and your tribute and respects to him. And then for the camp out, is that something that other people, if they wanted to come out to?
Absolutely, yeah.
So how would they find out information about that?
It's called the Classic Moon Fest. And you can go to the Lion Pride Music Facebook page or just go to the Classic Moon Fest website. And I think it's $60 to camp for the whole weekend. Mm-hmm. And they've got Zeparellas performing.
Are you serious?
And they're going to have a classic car show. And we're expecting hundreds of people out there camping. And that's what Grizzly would have wanted, man, is just to get everybody together. And it'd be great to spend a weekend under the stars out on a private lake, Lake Leland. We're going to go paddleboarding out on the lake. And we're just going to share some good memories with friends and family.
That sounds awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Very, very, very
cool. It'll
be cool. No, I just came back from a camping weekend. Those are some of the most fun time. I went to Summer Meltdown.
Yeah. Well, summer's so short here, man. Yeah. So it's like, dude.
August and rain.
Yes.
Well, dude, that was the nutty part. Like, I looked at my calendar today. I was like, what day is today? I'm losing track. I mean, after a weekend away from reality, I just kind of lost track of who I am, what's going on in this world, and why aren't people just walking around in just flip-flops and barely naked anymore? I missed that weekend. That was a lot of fun. Well, anyways, I'm like, oh, it's August 7th. Where the hell did our summer go? That was fast.
Blazed by, literally.
It's a load of crap, man.
You just come by my house, and I work all week, and then I work on cars on the weekend.
you have a classic car? You got a classic vehicle you can bring out?
I sold my Pontiac to buy the Harley.
Nice.
You know, but I've been cycling through. A buddy of mine's been bringing his cars to me.
Cycling through? I saw what you did.
Yeah, right. I didn't even mean to do that. I spent some intimate time with a BMW I couldn't fix. I'm just shrouded in defeat, man. Daddy needs a win. Yeah, the bike kicked my ass on Sunday, and the BMW kicked my ass yesterday. Yeah.
Just that sigh.
Yeah, man.
Oh, man.
Let's talk about something else.
Talk about baseball. How about the Mariners? Mariners won yesterday, Glenn. It was a good day.
But I always get on social media, and people are like, man, I'm camping. Man, I've done this. Man, I took a flight to the moon. And
yeah, Brev went to the moon.
And I'm laying under a car covered in motor oil like, this is what I'm doing with my Saturday.
Down and dirty. I hate everybody.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, that money doesn't just fall from the sky. I got to make it somewhere. So, yeah, bring your car on by. I'd love to do that.
And then we got Hempfest coming up, 17th, 18th, and 19th of August. It'll be Hempfest.
Damn.
Jeez.
Okay, so that's like 10 days away.
When is it?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
17th and 18th?
17th, 18th, 19th. Always a third weekend in August,
man,
and three-day festival. And
who do we got playing at Hempfest this year?
80 bands I got to load in at the festival.
Geez.
So, and we just got our new golf cart. We got the Lucid quality golf cart that we wrapped.
It's got the rims on it. It's got the whole tires. Right.
Yeah.
That's killing.
And we stickered it. We decaled it with all of our logos, just like the buses, right?
I was going to ask you, because I noticed recently you've got the giant Lucid logos on the buses. So tell us a little bit about what is Lucid?
Well,
for someone that's going to...
We're essentially branding Lucid, same thing with Quality, and we've got the Green Room and Loose Wheel Bar and Grill, right? Yep. And so these are all sponsors of ours, and we're a mobile billboard, right? Essentially, yep. We're using the buses as a mobile billboard, and we're just trying to advocate for planning ahead with avoid a DUI, right? Well, mm-hmm. Plan ahead, you know, and book your time with us, and we'll cater you around to some of the cool festivals and events like Hempfest or Paint the Grass. We're going to do the party bus to Paint in the Grass.
Nice.
We just locked in our booth today officially. Nice. So we're going to have one of our buses parked on site. Hopefully the big stage bus will park it inside Paint in the Grass. And
that will look pretty cool.
I know where I'll be.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll find you, man.
Yeah. We're going to have a bunch of
cool hang.
Giveaways. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If I'm missing, I might be on the bus. I tell everybody.
That's usually how you end up.
Yeah. Where the hell is Steve? He's probably on the bus. Mm-hmm. Doing God knows what. Listening to some weird techno song, probably.
Yes. 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 Steve! What?
Where's my husband? We don't know. I think he's on the bus.
Somewhere.
Can we take a pee break? We've been parked for like 3 hours, Steve.
Oh, my God. True story. True story. Oh, was at like 3 a.m. in Spokane. I'm doing my DJ set because that's what happens when go and hit the hockey tournament in Spokane. And so we were at the bars going back to the hotel. Well, I lose concept of time sometimes when I'm in a certain state of mind. And I'm just playing music. The place is, like, our bus is packed. There was, I mean, seriously, it was a full-on rave going on in that bus. From the hockey players to whoever the players invited onto the bus. And we're just going, everyone's dancing, and I'm just feeling it. And it's like, maybe a couple of hours have gone by, and I'm like, man, I hope we stop sometime soon. And I look at Levi, I'm like, hey, man. Do you think at some point...
Everything's spinning with Steve. Like, the wheels weren't spinning.
Could you let Rich know, like, hey, can we, like, pull over? Because I got to go pee real bad. And Levi's like, we've been parked for about 3 hours, man. And I'm like, were you serious? Because the bus was bouncing. So I thought we were moving, not realizing it was bouncing because everyone's dancing.
Okay, well, that makes sense at least. It wasn't like, it wasn't completely stationary. It was rocking. I get it.
I mean, I know those windows are tinted.
Oh, yes.
But you can still look outside and say, man, that's weird. Nothing's moving.
Well, Glenn, that is true if your eyes and vision are working properly.
That's strange. Nothing's moving.
The windows are tinted so good it's starting to get morning and it still looks like nighttime.
Yeah, it's still nighttime.
Yeah. He's like, it's
8 a.m., dude. Surprise.
Levi's like, we've been in the hotel parking lot for 3 hours. Oh, I'll be right back.
He's on the grass.
I did.
Oh, dude.
I'd be right outside the bus. I didn't even go to the room, which was maybe 15 feet away from where the bus was.
You had your DJ set you had to continue.
There's some maid looks out at him. She's like, I've got 56 bathrooms right here. You could walk right in and use one.
And I'm bitching about my teammates pissing on my on my bushes. And I'm that guy.
Helga's watching you. It's 7 a.m. You're, you know, smiling. Your unit's in your hand. She's like, why? Why?
With crazy loud techno coming out of the bus. Cloud of smoke. And I'm wearing probably like some light up glasses or something ridiculous like that.
T-shirt that says role model.
Yes. Spelled with two L's.
Yeah. Nice.
What bands are you excited about for Hempfest?
Man, we've got so many bands coming in. We don't have like any major headliners, wink, wink, that I'm allowed to talk about. So just excited for a lot of the local bands and local acts. And of course, that's kind of the cool thing about Hempfest, right?
Yep.
I mean, we spend 6 months filtering through 600 or 700 bands, and we pick the best of the best of the locals, and, mm-hmm. and they get an opportunity to rock a big audience and a big stage and get that cool. 15 seconds of fame, you know, so... it's gonna be packed. We're expecting, you know, hundreds of thousands of people down there again this year, and it's you know, get ready for the lines. Come in the north entrance. Actually, there's never a line up at the north end of the park. We have the little donation bins there, so throw a couple bucks in on your way in. That's really what we need to do to keep Hempfest in survival mode. Is everybody throw in a couple dollars? I think on average we get like a quarter or 27 cents per person. It's like we need to step it up a little bit.
Come you in can't the north. Just pop a dollar at least in. I mean, at least. $5-$10.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
$5 or $10. Yeah. Or $4 and some change would be great.
$4.20. Yeah. But with tax, it equals $5.
Yeah.
Tax and service fees.
Rounding up.
Yeah, just say, yeah.
So, but yeah, the north end of the park up there is the best place to come in. There's never a line. You just walk right on in. You avoid the 3-hour wait down there at the south end of
that's
the park.
That's hard to believe because, I mean, that time of year, you just see people pouring down off Queen Anne Hill, and I would assume they're all headed to the north end of the park.
Everybody just assumes they're like, oh, I know where the entrance is because they see the big
line.
There
it is, man. Yeah.
So just to get
stealth
that out of
entrance,
your,
bro. Yeah.
The back cave.
For snacks.
Yeah, right.
So is it the north entrance is a further walk than the south entrance, and the people are just so stoned that they don't want to make the walk?
No, but I mean, down off of Queen Anne Ave,
yeah,
you're kind of walking right into the north entrance, man.
And there's a sky bridge right there.
Yeah.
It's got a blue sky bridge. That's the entrance you want to come in.
Isn't there like a cleaner's store like right by that sky bridge?
There's a Starbucks right there.
Our old band practice space used to be right there.
Oh, okay.
And we would practice, I remember once, on a day where there was Hemp Fest, and it was so much fun. I didn't want to go into practice space. I just wanted to watch people confused walking around that bridge. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good spot right there.
Yeah, there's like a Taco Time, I think, there.
Yes.
Starbucks. Yep.
Perfect.
That's the Sky Bridge.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Come in there. Yep. And then flag us down if you see the Lucid quality golf cart. You know, stick out some thumb and show a little leg and we'll pick you up in the golf cart.
Yeah, that's right, fellas. Show the leg.
It'll be warm enough, gosh.
Are you planning to trick out that golf cart?
Yeah,
put it's like fat out. Wheels on it.
It's got some rims on it, yeah.
That's
no!
So rad. That's so rad. That's beyond cool, man.
Oh my
I
God.
Love you guys for that.
Can you bring that to Pain in the Grass so I could drive around in it?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be so much fun.
Yes. Get in, dude.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Get some music going, too, and I'll just be like some crazy guy walking around or driving around with this. Yes. Techno music.
We got
please.
The big boombox like zip tied on the back. Yeah, oh, so it'll be
that
great.
Sounds great. That's right up my alley.
Nice.
I've never driven a golf cart.
Okay,
really? No.
They're pretty easy to drive.
You promise?
Yeah.
No. Like driving into a car.
I would assume so. It's probably like a bumper car.
Well, I think it's like
the
brake
car,
pedal
Steve.
Unlocks it,
oh,
though, right?
Bummer.
So you got to hit the brake pedal first. That unlocks the thing, and then you're good to go.
There's only two motions. Yeah, there's brake or gas.
Right.
Okay. I'm good at one of those.
I've wrecked you're one before. I've actually rolled a golf cart.
What?
You
tell
do
us
that?
How.
Here we go. Hi, this is Glenn Cannon, and welcome to Jackass.
And now we're starting to understand why he's constantly repairing vehicles.
Yeah, exactly, right? It's that head injury. I had a brief gig at a country club, as one does, you know. I quit that, actually.
Welcome to Caddyshack.
Oh, dude, it was sort of like that. But it was one of those end-of-the-day things where parking all the carts, and there's this little narrow roadway that goes in around behind the pro shop. And there's a huge hill right there, and I just was being a little too fast, a little too aggressive, and the cart got away from me.
No!
You know.
The Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, and it was one of those, oh, don't worry, man, it's happened before. And I'm like, are you sure I'm not in big trouble? You know? And like, yeah, and,
I flipped this thing.
You're gonna be the first. Some of these guys get drunk and run them into trees. It's cool. Let's just go down there. And, yeah, but it tumbled, and I mean, like...
Were you still in it when it tumbled, or did you fly out of it first?
I kind of bailed on tumble.
Tuck and roll!
Yeah, tumble one, I was thrown from the cart, you know, like, maybe intentionally, just kind of, I got myself clear. Yeah,
like an action film
and
star.
And then I kind of, you know, I had some grass stains on my elbows and whatnot where I slid to a stop, and then... I watched the little white buggy roll away, but not on its wheels.
Glenn Cannon, stuntman.
That was a drag.
Oh, my gosh.
It was a drag.
Did you try and flip it back over, or did you say,
Oh, we got to the bottom of the hill, flipped it back over. The roof was all bent to hell, but it was otherwise kind of okay.
Yeah.
I just fired it up and drove it up there. They're like, dude, it's not the first time. Don't panic, Glenn. Don't worry about it. I'm like, they're going to make me pay for this. You know, I was wigging out.
It's a little worse for wear.
I think I was like 15 or 16 years old, just having a panic attack about this, dude.
I'm picturing like this messed up hood or a roof of it.
Yeah.
You're all covered in grass stains as you're puttering back to the...
Oh, I mean, I was pretty beat up, but the cart did okay. It really
That's
did, man.
Awesome.
I mean, it was scuffed up and...
Damn it,
Glenn.
Why do you hate Rev?
It was scuffed up and the roof was bent because there's just four little poles holding that roof up.
Yeah.
So the roof was bent all to hell.
Jeez.
And yeah, I had grass stains. I was a bit disheveled, but yeah, so the little narrow roadway was about the width of a cart and it went in behind the pro shop and you lined up all the carts there. And yeah, I just was kind of being a little too aggressive and right front wheel went off the path. And
Steve, have you ever wrecked a personal motor vehicle?
I mean, not intentionally, yeah. I've gotten in accidents, but not like that. No,
well, I mean, yeah, just like a little go-kart or like, I mean, because I flipped a three-wheeler. Like, and it was a
those
real
are easy to flip.
But it was a really slow flip. Like, I was going up a hill, going down this like gulch and going back up into it, and I was going at an angle, and I didn't have enough speed to get all the way up there. And I'm like, come on, come on, come on. And then it just like stops, and then slowly just... And just slowly it rolled over. Just once. Didn't fall down the mountain or anything.
Did
like
it roll
that.
Over you?
Yes.
How'd that feel?
Embarrassing. That was it. Like, it didn't hurt.
It's not bad.
There was no pain. There was nothing because it was really slow and really, really, really dumb.
Emotional pain.
Yeah, a lot of that. Yeah, and then my stepdad yelled at me. But yeah, that was the worst thing that I've ever rolled.
Yeah, no, that's my biggest fear in the Jeep. That sometimes I take a corner too quick and I'm going to roll the heavy. Jeep because that's always was like my mom would yell at me. She's like, you're never getting a Jeep. You can't get a Jeep. You'll roll it.
I mean, I just want to throw out that from factory, they come with a roll cage. So maybe they know something over at Jeep.
Right.
Maybe the guys at Jeep are hip to something that maybe we're not hip to as consumers. I don't know.
Right.
So your mom said you can't have a Jeep.
When I was a kid, I always wanted a Jeep. And she's like, originally I wanted a Suzuki Samurai.
Oh, no, those are a lot worse.
Yeah.
Those
my mom.
Cute.
Yeah. But when you're a kid, it looks like it'll be a fun ride.
Oh, no doubt. You take the roof off that thing, and you know, it's like a Corona commercial, for God's sake. Yeah.
Right. So she's like, you'll never get one of those. They'll flip over. And then when I got my Jeep, she's like, you better be careful. So if that ever happens where I take a turn too fast and I tip over on that damn thing,
you're never going to hear the end of it.
Right. So I always, whenever I hit turns, I'm like, mom, don't
want. I can picture him, like, you know, doing the thing where it kicks up kind of on two wheels, and like his mother's voice is, Steven!
It did happen once where it got onto two wheels.
Oh,
dude.
I got cut off and I moved out of the way, and then I turned too abruptly, and then all of a sudden I was tipping, and I'm like, what the F am I supposed to do?
Did
I'm on I-5.
Like, oh, no.
So I'm like, what? And I'm like leaning like as if my 200 pounds, like, come on.
That'll fix it.
Yeah. I'm like, just come on.
Correct,
lean into it.
Correct.
Lean into
correct.
It. Luckily, it just went right back down. But there was a half a second where I thought for sure this is going to make people's commute to wherever they're going really crappy because I'm about to take over a couple of lanes.
Oh, no.
See that Jeep go tumbling up the road?
Oh, dude. I was going to church. That would have been a real awkward conversation. Like,
You'd have been talking to God, all right.
Yeah. I didn't need church today. I got a direct line to God.
Yeah, I screamed Jesus Christ at the top of my lungs only 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. If he didn't hear me that way, he wouldn't hear me in church. Trust me.
Yeah, dude, that was scary.
Wow.
Damn.
Man, yeah. Sometimes you see that like on the freeway when you're like driving by and you just see some car upside down. You're like, you kind of want to, like, what happened? How did they end up upside down? Like, obviously something happened bad, but I mean, you almost want to like see like some kind of like instant replay of like, how did that unfold?
Let's go back to the cameras.
Have I told you guys the story about how I almost pulled my left ball off on a motorcycle? You guys ever heard that
me?
Story?
I'm pretty certain that we've never heard
I would have remembered that.
Story? Absolutely.
Story time. Left ball?
Yeah. So if you get a Google knows stuff, look up a condition called testicular torsion. I'm not making this up.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. My buddy, we had that and we were so...
So you got a torsed ball?
He did. He didn't lose it or anything, but forever he was known as One Nut.
Oh,
Johnny One Nut.
Yeah. He didn't. He had the contortion. It was literally just because he just like laid on his side, and it was just something that happened randomly. And he made the mistake of telling us.
Yeah. See,
and then we never let him live it down.
I won't say the guy's name, but he went to another high school. Was a distant friend of mine, closer friend of some of my other friends. But I called him Stunt Ball and Silicone Gone. Because he had a cosmetic replacement ball.
Did he? Yeah, what? Did he take it out?
Wait, those are available?
I just want to buy one just to have it.
You got three of them?
No.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds cool.
Now, this is the
nuts.
Story of what happened to this guy.
Four nuts.
He had built a treehouse, and he was standing on his treehouse peeing. So he had his unit out, and apparently the floor gave, and when he went through the floor,
no.
When he hit the ground, he was apparently one ball light.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, look on Levi's face.
I just seen a tree branch on the way down.
I think it was the floor of the treehouse grabbed, and now that's
was
that's,
he hanging from it then?
I don't think there was any hang time.
No,
I think
it was a quick clean.
I think it was pulled
low
free.
Hanging fruit there.
How do you explain that to the parents?
I think you start with the word mom and probably tears
and help.
But yeah, I called him Silicone Gone and Stunt Ball in a loving way.
Yeah,
you know, of course.
I thought Stunt Ball was pretty cool.
How many stitches was it? I wonder.
I never asked. Yeah. I never
Can I see
asked.
The scar?
It was just, you know, like he was a distant friend, so I wasn't overly hard on him.
Hard.
Really hard.
That probably took a few weeks before that happened.
Yeah, man.
Damn.
Yeah. So anyway, I still have. I don't have a stunt ball, but I did. I did torso. So anyway, this is a motorcycle story. My dad used to buy and sell motorcycles all the time. There were always bikes around the house. There's more to that, but I'll just leave it at that. That's enough information. So there were always 5, 6, 8 motorcycles at my house. None of them with plates on them. So cool. I would just hop on a bike
and go.
Yeah.
Yep. And they were, you know, big street bikes mostly. And then I'd come home and I never got caught. And that was kind of how I learned to ride a motorcycle. Well, I remember the bike. It was a Suzuki 850L, big street street bike. Was a shaft drive. Heavy bike. And I'm like, I think I was 16, but I'm cruising all around my neighborhood, up and down, just cruising my neighborhood. It was a big neighborhood. And I was almost home. I was like, I don't want to go home yet. This is too much fun. So I went down to the end of the street that's maybe a block and a half from my parents' house, and it's a T intersection where you're looking at a little dirt embankment where the windowpane guys, when we were all back there this past summer, I showed these guys the spot where this happened because this story is fairly legendary.
And, here's where I lost my nut.
I don't know what I was thinking, but I was in first gear, but I wound the bike up and popped the clutch. And in my head, I was going to carve that corner real tight and shoot up Brant Road.
Yeah, you know, and what actually happened?
What actually happened was I went wah, and let the clutch out, and I shot across that intersection at Mach 7.
Yeah, you did.
And I hit that dirt embankment with the throttle still open. Wah, so I hit the bank, and I slid up the gas tank. I still had the throttle open, so when the rear tire hit the ground again, the bike climbed the bank and fell on me.
Oh, ouch.
And we're talking like a 500, 600-pound motorcycle.
Yeah.
So now this is a small rural neighborhood. I crawl out from under the bike, and I'm convinced that I've liquefied my testicles. I mean,
oh my God.
Do you have to censor that or no?
No, I'm just...
I was in so much pain.
I'm feeling your pain right now.
So I staggered out into the middle of the street, and I dropped my pants and underwear, and I've literally got my sack in my hand.
Checking.
And I'm searching for my testicles.
Oh, my God. Do I got one, two.
I thought I ruptured them. I thought I liquefied them.
A crushed bean.
So as I'm standing there with my pants and underwear down around my knees, I'm quivering, there's blood running out of me, and I'm searching my ball bag for contents, I hear this, Jesus Christ, are you okay?
That was so great, I just gotta do this right now, don't worry about it.
You think they know the answer to that question when you're bloody and your pants are down.
I didn't realize it, but the guy that lives on that corner was like out working in his yard and saw the whole thing, saw me, wimp. So, and I turn, I'm like, yeah, and I'm pulling my pants up, and he's like, aren't you Roger Cannon's boy? I'm like, yeah.
Oh, crap.
And he's like, well, do you need a ride home? I'm like, no, you got to help me get that motorcycle out of the big, deep drainage ditch.
I'm
like,
I'm going to get killed. You got to help me, man.
I should be home right now.
Yeah, man. So it took both of us, because I'm telling you, probably, you know, 500 to 600-pound bike.
Yeah.
It took both of us to lift that thing up out of that ditch.
You, your buddy, and three nuts.
Oh, yep, man.
You're a ball short.
So then I hop on, I think I rode it home in first gear, just brrr. It's like, you know, I'm all mad.
How's that vibration on it then, man? Dude.
So now, of course, I got to face the old man. So I get the bike home, you know, I get myself kind of cleaned up. It's better when dad tells the story from this point, but so dad comes home from work and something happened that never happened before, which is I came out the front of the door of the house and I walked up to his vehicle to meet him. So immediately he's like, well, something bad happened.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Something bad has
walking
transpired.
Walking like he just rode
right.
a horse.
So
walking with a limp and blood all over
walks
him.
Up. He's like,
bow-legged.
Okay, what's up? And I'm like, dad, I took one of the bikes today. He's like, okay. And I'm like, and I laid it down. And he went, okay. And I said, I laid it down bad. I busted it up. And he's like, are you okay? Mm-hmm. And I went, yeah, I'm all right.
Mostly.
And he's like, you're okay. I said, I'm okay, but I tore that motorcycle all to hell. And he went, that's all right. Let's go look at it. So as we're walking down around the back of the house, I'm like, I caved in the exhaust. I burnt, bent in the, there's, you know, it busted this off, caved that in, et cetera. Just listing all the stuff that I had done.
At no point you mentioned busting a nut.
And I said, no, this is the crux of the story, and I'm not making this. So we can get my dad on the phone, actually, if you want to. It'd be fun. But I was like, and there's a big dent in the gas tank. So my dad is doing a mental inventory of, okay, caved this in, caved in the exhaust, and then the footrest bent in, the brake pedals bent in. That all makes so the right side went down. Okay, and he's expecting a big dent in the side of the gas tank.
Not the top.
The dent wasn't in the side of the tank.
Oh.
The dent went right up the middle of the tank. It was a crease where my unit slid up that tank. And you ask him, he swears if you look at it in just the right light, you could see two little two little spheres. We can get him on the phone.
Brass
ball.
Yeah,
we
want to try.
You want to try him?
Yeah, we can try it. Yeah.
You want to write down his number?
Yeah, write down his number, and I can see if we can get this.
What voice were you telling?
Then my dad's like, "You're all right." I'm like, "What? What? Yeah, I'm all right." And he's like, "What all hurts?" I'm like, "Oh, my arm, my knees, my elbows." And finally, he goes, "How are you nuts?" And I was like, "Oh yeah,
Dad.
Let's let's try his cell."
Yeah, I want to hear his perspective on this story. This is gonna be fantastic.
Let's try his cell, man.
Hey, so while you're doing that, what do you think it would take for us to get Migs Cash truck nuts made?
Oh Jesus.
I actually saw some truck
nuts. Like the ones that are keychains, the truck nut keychains.
Oh, the little ones.
Levi, you got to probably handle on all things merchandise.
You got to handle on nuts, right?
Can we make truck nuts?
I was thinking like the ones you hang off like your bumper, you know, off your trailer
hitch.
Like
the real big ones?
The ones you see at the big trucks rolling yep. around.
Well, there's more to that story, too, because, you know, I'll have to tell you guys how I learned what a suture was and what testicular torsion was.
Oh, boy.
There's another chapter to this story, man.
you could have the balls and just say, "I want to rock."
Yeah, you could do that.
I want to rock!
Well, this would be great.
Let's see if this works.
I like that we're finally calling your pops, and the reason why is because of a story about your testicles.
Let's see if he answers.
He's just like, unknown number, screw that.
He may not. Yeah, he may not.
He might.
I don't know. He's pretty good, though.
Hello?
Hey, Dad.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, so we are literally on the Migscast doing the show right now, so you're live with me and Steve and Rev.
Hey, Dad.
Hi, Dad.
Hey there, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. It's really cool getting to finally talk to you.
Well, Dad, the reason I'm calling is we started talking stories about crashing vehicles, and I had shared the story of the Suzuki that I almost pulled my balls off on.
Oh, yeah.
And, we wondered if you would share the story from your perspective pretty much when you came home from work. Would you share that story, please?
Well, I'd be delighted. I came home from work and parked my car out in front of the house, to which my young son came walking up through the yard to greet me. Never happens. Something has got to be wrong. So he says, "Dad, I got to talk to you." I said, "Well, what's wrong, Bob?" He said, "I took the motorcycle out for a ride." And I said, "Oh." And he said, "I wrecked it." And I said, "Are you okay?" "Yeah, I'm fine." He said, "My back hurts a little bit." He said, "My ankle hurts a little bit." And, "But yeah, I'm okay." He said, "But Dad, the bike's hurt." And I said, "Oh, well, let's go look at it." And I said, "Well, so we started walking around the house, to which the bike was around back. And, he said, "Well, the lever's bent, the gear shift's bent. Maybe it was a brake lever." He said, "There's a dent in the gas tank." Now, with that, I perceived that the tank was mashed in on the side. You see, so I get down, and sure enough, my first mash flat. And then brake lever's bent, yeah, and the clutch lever's bent. And I looked, and the way the sun was shining on that tank, it was right in front of the seat. And in the big dent were like two smaller dents. And so as I stare at this dent, I said, "Glenn, how's your balls?" He said, "Oh, I'm dead." He said, "Oh, man." He said, "Oh." He said, "I drove them up inside. They're gone."
They're gone.
Well, apparently there was just a bunch of skin hanging there because his balls were gone. I think it took an hour or two for him to come back down.
Oh, man.
So
So they do come back.
Yeah, they descended
so
eventually.
I said, well, I'll tell you what, let's do. You.
They're hibernating.
I'm going to go in the house and tidy up. Let's go for a ride. I got an old Corvette, so we piled in the Corvette, and we went out to the accident site, and then we rode around, just he and I, just to spend some quality time together. And he said, I said, tell me what happened over here. So you go up to the end of the street, and you turn left, and then there's another street over there. And there's a lot of woods. We live in a rural section here. It's really a nice place where we live. And there's a little bank there where, like, when the road was cut through, there might be a 4 or 5 foot embankment where they graded the road. And I said, show me where you hit.
It's a T intersection. When you pull up, you're pointed right at that bank.
Oh, yeah. That's correct. You pull up, it's a T. You go left or right. You can't go straight. You go straight into this embankment.
You'll
glide. Well,
I
could see some scratch marks there on the bank. And I saw some, the brush had been knocked over.
Ooh.
And I said, well, tell me what happened. He said, oh, I just left the clutch out, Dad, and I went into that bank. Well, when he went into the bank, I would suspect that would be the first dent in the tank, because his balls hit that tank about 30 miles an hour.
Oh, my God.
Bam. To which the back wheel went up in the air and it was still spinning. And when it hit the ground, then it did a wheelie and ran up on the bank and fell over.
On me.
Yeah.
Over on Glenn.
It beat the hell out of me.
Old Mr. Foss lives on the corner.
Yeah, that's his. I couldn't remember his name. He's the one, because I was telling them how I crawled out and I pulled my pants and underwear down. I was trying to find my balls, and I heard this, Jesus Christ, are you okay? And aren't you Roger Cannon's boy? What was his name, Mr. Frost?
Frost, F-A-U-S-T.
Frost, okay.
Mm-hmm. Man, Frost.
He witnessed it.
Well, anyway, so he showed me what had happened, and then, and, of course, the motorcycle's laying there, and Mr. Faust looks over and sees this mess there flopping around on the ground. And Glenn gets up right in the middle of the road, according to Mr. Faust, he later related to me, and pulled his pants down right there in the middle of the road. His Twinkie's hanging out, and his ass cheeks are out, and he's reaching down there looking for something that's not there.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyways, he helped Glenn get the motorcycle up and then got it going and brought it back to the house and without further incident. But that's kind of
the
condensed
story.
Version of what happened.
That's incredible.
That is amazing.
Yeah, you know what's the best part about it? You cannot make this stuff up.
No.
It is all true. I'm telling you. I mean, you could get these guys that write stories in California and all that stuff, and it isn't even close to real life. And that is what happened to real life right here.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Well, I feel like that's probably not the only story where you had certain moments with Glenn.
Oh, man. Dude. Yeah. You or I got to write a book, Pop. If we just made it through my 17th. What? How old was I when we blew up the neighbor's house with the fireworks? How old was I?
Well, let's see.
I don't think I was 16 yet when we blew up Bill's house.
I suspect, yeah, because Heather was out, and 4th of July, we always used to get fireworks. My mother-in-law lived away out in St. Louis, and she'd send us some Billy Bob's fireworks or something.
She would send them in the mail,
anyway,
a crate of fireworks. She would just mail them to us.
Yeah, you know. So we would set them off in front of the house. The neighbors were really sweet neighbors here. And so we'd set them out in the street, and then the neighbors would come out and watch, and it was great fun. Well, this one year, we decided to have guests over, and Heather was gone, and Glenn was out, I think, and then, but they all came back, but it rained like crazy. And so we weren't going to set them off. We had a couple drinks, and finally Heather and Glenn come in and said, oh, let's set the fireworks off. Well, underneath the house, I have a garage that comes in the end of the house. So we decided to set them off there. And behind the house, we have a deck up on the second floor. And so all the ladies went up onto the deck, and under the eave of the house, they could peer out around the house and see the fireworks. And it's raining pretty lively. And you couldn't light a match, so I used a propane torch. And then Glenn would run out. Well, that wouldn't put the fire out, see. So Glenn would go out, and he would light off the fireworks. Well, because it was raining and the ceiling was low, the clouds were real damn low. The fireworks didn't do right. Some of them went in the neighbor's pool, and some of them went in the neighbor's wood pile, and some went and bounced off the side of his house. And this guy is a nice fella, just a wonderful fella. But he came out on the back porch and kind of gave me the evil eye, and, as if to say, hey, listen, you guys, you know, maybe enough's enough. So we had one intercontinental ballistic missile left. It was about as long as my leg. It had a little chimney on the top, and it had 4 feet on the bottom.
You're not going to believe this, man. Yeah.
We're going to save this for last. And so it was time to stop. And so Glenn goes out there and sets it off, boom, and away she went. And it went up into the clouds, and you could see it going in the clouds, as the glow, you know. And it made a U-turn. And the entire earth it had to land on, oh, no. It went down my neighbor's chimney.
Are you serious?
You talk about a flue block that is 8 by 10 or 6 by 8 or something like
tiny,
that.
Tiny, wow. The odds.
And that thing went point, and when it bounced off the chimney, the edge of the chimney, some little sparks come off of the ashlight, and someone said, oh, I went down his chimney. And then with that, it went, and 6 little green and white sparks come up out of the chimney. With that, my neighbor, who was doing something down in his rec room,
I think he's watching racing or something,
down in his fireplace, and green and white sparks all over his rec room, and he came out.
He had a wood burning stove. And if you run those, you crack the door a little bit, and that's how you get them really cooking.
Yeah.
Dad and I debated. I went, Dad, I think it's laying on the roof. And Dad went, no, it went down his chimney. And I'm like, Dad, I think it's up on his roof. And then about that time, as we're debating it, it went, and when it, so basically, that thing exploded in his wood burning stove, and it blew ash and fire and
oh
logs.
Oh my God!
I mean, it blew up. It blew up his living room, and it was a big firework. I mean, so all we heard was.
It was such your dad's leg.
He blew up. It blew up. So go ahead, Pop. Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, that's 100% right. Well, anyway, he comes out on the back porch, and all I could hear, because all the words were run together, there was no spacing and no punctuation, and it sounded like.
He was wearing boxers and a shirt, and he was covered in black ash and soot. And he, if there was a swear word he forgot to call my father and I don't know what it was.
Wow.
I mean, he went insane.
What I'm learning about Glenn's family here is every time they say one more or one more minute or one more jump or one more firework, that's when the things go down for real. There's a pattern going on here.
Well, armed with all of that, the next thing I heard was all the people, the cars starting out front, and everybody's leaving, and I felt terrible. And of course, the next morning I had to get up and go to work. And next morning I called soon from work, and I said, Glenn, you get your dead ass out of bed, you get over there and clean that guy's yard up.
Oh yeah.
He said, Dad, there's stuff in the pool. I said, I don't care. They're at church now. You get over there and dive in that cold water and do whatever you got to do.
It was dawn, and that water was like ice, and I was in their swimming pool getting every scrap of paper. Oh yeah, and it was like ice water.
Yeah.
And the dad was like, do it. And I'm like, all right. I'm doing it. You know,
punishment, yeah.
Yeah, skin's turning blue.
Well, I didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't my
physics,
fault.
Man.
Damn.
Happens.
And I felt bad for once hitting my neighbor's siding with a wiffle ball and denting it.
Another story. I don't feel bad at all. Chest.
That's the beginners. Damage your neighbor's 101.
This is entry level stuff.
Yeah.
No idea what's going on in that neighborhood, man.
Fired your neighbor's house.
Okay, so time passes. Later on, I got home from work, and here he come I thought, oh, he's going to smack me in the mouth. But he was, and I had went up to a nice seafood restaurant we had locally at the time and purchased a $40 gift certificate and a very sincere letter of apology and put it in his mailbox. Well, anyway, he comes home and I'm home and he gets the mail and there's this. So here he comes up through the yard with the letter and the stuff. And I was like, yep, he's going to hit me in the head. I mean, it's going to be bad, and I'm going to have to let him, you know? I'll just go ahead and flop around on the ground and hope he doesn't kick too hard. So, and anyway, he's upset because we've done so many nice things back and forth, and he's sorry he got so mad. And he said, I was looking over there. There's no sign of any damage or not. And I thought, that's because Glenn's poor little Twinkie and these little things are all frozen because of that cold water. Yeah, so anyway, okay, so my neighbors on the upper side, nice people, they got these little Boston Terrier dogs. And they run sideways and bark and all that stuff. Well, anyway, they run out in the street. So Bill's wife, nice lady, she drives down the street a little too fast, and she's waving at everybody and runs over one of the dogs. And there the dog is, and the dog's going to pass away, and everybody's upset and crying. And so I didn't know this had happened. So this happened the next couple days or so. And so I'm out in front of the house tinkering with a car. Here comes Bill up through the yard. Oh, man, what's wrong now? So he tells me that his wife had just run over Bowman's dog.
In front of the whole family. Said, they were all, you know, she was waving to the Bowman family while she ran over their dog, dude. It was bad. It was the kids, right in front of the kids, man. Yeah.
So he says, and he tells me this terrible story. And I said, hey, Bill, I tell you what, you know that gift certificate I give you? Take it up and give it to the Bowmans. I said, but I don't want it back.
Pay it forward.
That gift certificate is the ultimate peacekeeper.
It's just taking the apology tour.
That is incredible.
Oh, my God.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you what, you can't make that stuff up, fellas.
No.
It all happened.
No.
That is awesome.
And that's the way it is. And hey, listen, anytime you want to call me and ask me some stupid stuff that happened in the family, you do so.
Oh, we will. We will. This will be an ongoing theme.
Appreciate it.
Love you guys.
Oh, it's been a pleasure getting to chat with you, man. It's so awesome. Thank you.
Take care, man.
Love you, Pop. I'll talk to you soon, I'm sure. Thanks for sharing with everybody, Dad.
Oh, hey, it was my pleasure. You guys take care.
Take care, Pop.
Take care, man.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Papa Cannon's got to come back.
That was the best story.
That's Big
ever.
Raj. It's my dad. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Big Raj. That might be the name of this episode.
Yeah, right.
What do I tell my wife? Be like, we had my dad on the phone today. She'll be like, oh, God, what story?
Oh, no.
The ball story.
The
See,
best.
Now you know I'm not making that stuff up about almost pulling my balls off and denting the gas tank up the middle. I mean, you just heard it from the horse's mouth.
And you were right. The way he described it with the holes, with the light shining on the two little dents, was fantastic.
That whole story, like, just the whole fireworks story is fantastic.
Dude, I'm telling you.
How can that happen? And here we are.
He was sitting downstairs in his boxers and a white, I remember he was wearing boxers and a white t-shirt, and it must have been like obviously a bomb went off in his fireplace.
Yeah.
After he warned you guys to stop.
Stop it.
Just boom, and it blew ash and fire and logs. I mean, his living room exploded in a green ball of fire. And yeah, man, when he came out, the way our houses were situated, his house was below our house. It's all on a grade. So from our driveway, you're kind of looking at almost not quite the roof of Bill's house.
Okay.
And so we were in the driveway between the houses, if you can imagine that scenario. Yeah. And so when he was on his deck screaming at my father and I, he was almost level with us.
Oh, okay.
Because his backyard's recessed and his swimming pool was down there. And
Last one. This one is our last one.
Just one more. Make this one
count.
Yeah, I think Levi was on the nose with that. If there's one more thing, then watch out when Glenn says last one.
Next time we're hanging out, I'm like, dude, just one more. He'd be like, I'm out.
I'm gonna run through the hills.
I was thinking that next time we're at like a Bruiser Brody show, and Glenn's like, just one more shot. I'm like, I'm going home. Travis, let's go home.
Glenn wants to do one more shot at a Brody show. I stepped on Travis's head.
Yes. I'm going home.
One more song.
No. That was it. You don't get encore. An encore with Bruiser Brody.
Thanks for indulging story time with Pop, guys.
That was fantastic.
As always, didn't mean to hijack the show, but I hope it was entertaining.
No, Big Raj needs to call in more.
We'll get him on the phone.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Sure. Thank you, Roger Cannon.
Well, and honestly, this
sounds like an awesome
Bill
dude.
Elliott is the guy's name. I went to school with his daughter, Amy. Amazingly cool people, but the things that went down, inadvertent things that went down between my dad and Bill as a result. And dad's a gearhead and was always working on cars. I'll tell you the story about the wind machine that we had over at the house for a while. And just a lot of crazy stuff happened over the years with Bill. Good stories.
Oh, gosh. That was fantastic.
Yeah. Cheers. I'm glad he answered. He's like, hello.
Yeah. Hey, that was, he was so awesome.
He was up and ready to rock. That was fantastic.
Well, he's 3 hours ahead of us.
That's
he's
true.
Probably just finishing lunch.
That's a good point. So he's all warmed up. All right, so before we get to voicemails, emails, and text messages, one more time just to let people know what's going on with you guys. So the big Jazz Bones on the 12th, a big tribute and memorial for Grizz.
Yep, August 12th at Jazz Bones from 1 to 5 p.m.
And then the camping.
Yep, we got the camping, Classic Moonfest, it's the big camp out, car show, Zepparella. That's the 10th and the 11th of August.
Awesome.
And Hempfest the following weekend, 17, 18, 19.
So a nice quiet month for a live ride.
Then Pain in the Grass.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
And then we got David Ellison from Megadeth coming to town. That'll be September 22nd at Louis G's.
He's the big I've seen that being promoted, man. That looks really cool. Yeah.
I think Sin Circus is going to be on that. And I think we're looking for a few more bands to jump on the bill for that, too. So we should definitely message up Louis G's and try to get on the lineup for the Dave Ellison show.
Cool. I met him Super Bowl weekend when I went to the Super Bowl where the Seahawks took on the Patriots in Phoenix, because he lives in Phoenix.
Okay, yeah.
And, of course, we ran to Craig Gass, and he's like, hey, you want to go to a Phoenix Suns game? I'm like, sure. He goes, well, I'm going to probably invite a couple other buddies if that's cool. I'm like, yeah. So my wife and I, we show up. We get together. We're watching the game. He's like, okay, let's go meet up with my friends. And it's Dave from Megadeth.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what's going on here? Well, then Dave and my wife just hit it off. They're just talking about, like, church stuff, this, that, and the other thing. My wife at that point still has no idea who I'm talking about. And so I'm like, do you realize who that was? She's like, no, that guy was so nice. His kids were nice because he brought his kids. And I'm like, oh, let me play you what band he's in. So I start playing. She's like,
oh, no.
I'm like, yeah, Megadeth.
Yeah.
That's who you were talking to. She's like, that's awesome.
And he's coming to do like a story. It's called Bass Stories. He's actually going to do like a storytelling thing about his life of touring with Megadeth and stuff, too. So it's going to be a really unique concert.
That would be awesome, actually. Yeah, man.
Yeah, if you're a Megadeth fan, you should go, because from my brief experience talking to him, he's super engaging. He's super appreciative. Could not be a nicer guy. So if you want to have a great, like, you know, they always say don't meet your idol. So if you're a big Megadeth fan, you're like, oh, do I want to meet this guy? Yes, you do. Because he's
cool.
He's as sweet of a dude as you'll ever meet.
I'm excited. So September 22nd down at Louis G's.
Watch, he shows up and he's just a jerk to everyone.
Everyone's like, Steve, man, you said this guy was going to be nice. He kicked my kid.
He ran over my dog and gave me a gift card.
He shot a firework right into my chimney.
Oh, sweet. All right, so I don't know if you've got time to stick with us for the voicemails, emails, and text messages, but of course, you're always welcome. Let's do that.
Let's look. Playing messages. Mixcast messages. Stories, jokes, and hijinks. Breaking all the bits of messages.
You can leave us an email, themixcast@gmail.com, or voicemail/text, 253-271-4787. Let's just jump right into the voicemails.
What is up with people always want to know what time it is? I mean, don't you have a cell phone? I mean, it's connected to a damn satellite circling the Earth that tells you what time it is. I mean, Can't you invest in a watch? You can get a watch in a Cracker Jack box these days. I mean, watches are $3 at you know, some of the, at like Walmart or something. You can get a watch. Leave me alone.
Wow.
It's Glenn, did your dad call back again?
It's 11:24 right now when we're doing this podcast.
I just want to hand that guy a sundial. Like, hey, man, next time someone asks, be like, give me a minute.
Yeah, I don't think anybody asks me the time anymore.
You know what's funny?
My phone's in my pocket. Yeah. I'm like, dude, what time is it? I'd be like, I'm about 3:15. Someone usually has an answer.
You know what's funny, though, is that I someone will be like, hey, what time is it? And I'll look at my phone, and I'll be like, 11:27. So I'll be like, oh, it's 11:30. And then the other person next to me goes, actually, it's 11:27.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, you have to be perfect with the that's time
little,
now, huh?
That's a little crazy.
Yeah, I've had that happen multiple times.
That gives me 3 minutes to beat the hell out of you.
Right. Give me a second. It'll be 11:30 when I'm done with this
2-foot length of rubber hose I've got conveniently stationed.
Dude, the highlight was while we were at Summer Meltdown, we went down camping, and none of us had like our phones or watches. One of our buddies did, Joe. He had his watch on, and so whenever people saw he had a watch, they're like, hey, man, what time is it? Because you kind of lose track of time. You're just outside getting wasted on a river. So random people would come up, and he kept going. He's like, oh, it's like all right around 5:30 or 5:40, he kept saying. And I'm like, you've been telling everyone it's 5:40. And he's like, well, my watch is broken. It just says 5:40, so I'm just telling him what's on my watch. So for the rest of the night, anytime anyone asks what time it was,
5:40.
Pitch blackout. I'm like, they're like, what time is it? I'm like, I think it's 5:40. Like, no, it's not. I'm like, that's the last I heard.
This is the last I heard 7 hours ago.
All right, let's check out another voicemail.
Man, that guy's played his dick.
What's that?
I was just saying I feel bad for that guy.
Yeah.
Sorry, dude. You know. Gosh,
your day sucks, man. That's people asking what time it
could
is.
Could be worse. Could be like, does this look infected? I mean, be glad that, you know, you're being asked.
What yes, time were you is. Riding a motorcycle and crashed it?
Yeah, I'd get that cut off, man. I don't know what you got going on there, but it looks bad. It smells of almonds.
What a mother blinker.
What's that?
Maybe your phone's slow.
Yeah. My phone's slow. Mike, this phone is slow.
Here we go.
What a mother blinkers. Hey, for some reason, I just felt like I needed to tell you about my last trip down to Toys R Us. That was about 6 weeks ago. It was the second to last day Toys R Us in South Center was ever open. Uh-huh. Steve, you're going to appreciate the crap out of this. Check it out. So I got WWE 2K18 for the Xbox nice. One. It was originally $59.99, came out to about $16.
Oh,
we found a WWE Women's Championship title belt for a little girl. It's going to go to my niece because her favorite wrestler is The Undertaker. She's a big WWE fan.
Nice.
And then the other thing you're not going to care about too much because that's just for my newborn son who... it just helps to stop him to not pee on us, and that's always nice. Anyway, peace out. Bitches.
What do you buy at Toys R Us that stops urine?
Nothing anymore.
Rubber bands?
Legos. No.
Legos?
The Toys R Us, they have a very
is that
extensive...
a kidney stone?
Nah, it's a Lego.
They have extensive, like, yeah. A baby section and stuff.
Dude, that's awesome, though, about the championship belt. Like, one time when we went to a WWE event, Levi went with us.
Yeah!
Instantly walks in and buys one of those gangster-sized championship belts.
Oh, nice!
Yeah.
We were partying before we went there, and as soon as we showed up, I think...
Had to have it.
I bought a light-up necklace that had the WWE logo. So did Ted, because we wanted a match.
Yeah.
And then Levi's like, I need to get something, too. And then we turn around, and it's in the, like, the protective thing. Case.
That's so cool.
It's like $250.
Yes!
Dude.
Whoa!
Oh. And dude, everywhere we walk, people are getting pictures with Levi. To the point where I think even like some people are like, hey, can I get a picture of you? I'm like, it's gonna be $5. And one kid reached into his pocket, like, I'm
no
just kidding.
Levi's like, dude, what up, man? Take the $5.
We had like the mullet wigs and the tight pants on. We looked like wrestlers. We were like front row. I had to have
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you still have it?
Yeah.
Nice.
That belt was sick. Was so awesome. I just turned around like, I love Levi. Like, we went small. We spent $15 each on our necklaces.
He drops $2.50. Give me the belt.
Yes. It was so badass. All right, let's check out an email. This is titled Grim Reaper. Hey, guys, from Shane.
Oh, no.
He says, hey, how's it going, Steve, Glenn, and Rev? Hopefully everyone's doing well. Recently, like Glenn, I myself have been going through the same issues saying hello to the Reaper. Over the years, my teeth have not been in the best of shape, and due to mostly procrastinating, I haven't seen a dentist. Well, now I wish I would have sooner. Even with having a very well union benefited job, I'm still looking at over $7,500.
Oh my God.
To fix everything out of my own pocket after insurance pays their share.
Ooh.
I haven't gotten a game plan quite together yet. We should do a Kickstarter.
Right? God, nowadays.
And hope to soon.
Do a GoFundMe, but since it's dental, it'll be kind of a GoFundMe.
Just wanted to say thanks to Glenn and to hearing your story and to my girlfriend who's been pushing me along. I'm finally on the right track to getting this figured out for myself and my future. Enjoy talking to Glenn at Redfest, and also thanks to the Rev as a Good Guys Car Show. The girlfriend won tickets to Northwest Nationals
nice.
And $85 a ticket. We couldn't have gone without KISW, so thanks for all that. And I seriously can't wait for the new Bruiser Brody record and everything else coming along the way. Stay positive from Shane.
That guy's rad. Awesome. And it's great because his girlfriend actually was just like, hey, my boyfriend's making me sign up, blah, blah, blah. And then they won. And it's like, yeah, good thing you did that.
That is awesome.
That's killer.
Sometimes when I do events, there's like barely anyone shows up, and then people are like hemming and hawing, like, I don't know if I should sign up for this. I'm like, it's a $100 gift card to Target. And I'm telling you right now, you have a 50-50 chance if you sign up.
I'm the only person that bought a ticket.
So. Right. All right, I guess. And then I'll be like, I won. I'm like, no S. You're the only one here.
On the dental, that segues nicely into, because I thought about for the next couple episodes saying, like, Glenn Cannon appears courtesy of Dr. Luke St. Marie at Valley Dental Group in Renton.
Dun, 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 dun.
But I want to give a huge shout out to Dr. Luke, who sorted me out. You guys,
that's cool.
You guys heard the story.
Life,
called in the prescription, having not even met me, saw me the very next day, got me in. They were killer. So for the next several episodes, because I'm sort of
absolutely
like morally indebted, Dr. Luke St. Marie, who was amazingly cool and pretty much probably saved my life.
Yeah.
Valley Dental Group in Renton. The Valley Dental Group in Renton. If you need something done, if whatever the case may be, that's the place to go. They took care of me and really took care of me. And so, yeah, I just got to shout them out because they sort of saved my ass. And Stephanie Muma, I love you. Stephanie, of course, is who I called. She works for Dr. Luke.
Hey, quick, speaking
made
of
all this happen,
of last week's episode, you know, we talked in detail about that trolley guy who's continuing to like engage with.
Because Oh my god!
I finally just like I hit all the notifications. I don't even want to be reminded. Like this guy is like
it's continuing.
To the point where it's like he's trying to be funny guy, and like whenever someone like goofs on him, he tries to be funny back. So he wants to be part of the fun, but then he also says the dumbest stuff. And it's like even at one point he's like, "This is going to make for a great Facebook drama, huh?"
Like, LOL. No, it's not.
And like, no, actually, it's not.
It's not.
I'm not even responding to you because you're a loser.
I didn't know it had spiraled past our last.
Well, here's
episode.
The thing. So we asked everyone, "Hey, you know, let it go. Just don't even say anything to
Did
this
they?
Guy." I'll give you one guess on who decided not to let it go.
Travis?
No, Travis already.
That was a good guess, though.
That's a good guess. I'll give you another guess. He's the bane of the Migs cast.
Light only.
Yes.
I love how
it cracked me
it was
up.
It's either him or Andy McHale, and I don't know what your problem is with either of those guys.
I got
guys.
No problem with either one of them, actually. And in fact, when Wyatt wrote, made me laugh out loud because he just wrote.
So Wyatt chimed in on there?
All he wrote was, wow, dude, you must be fun at parties.
That's
the greatest response. And it's so true. And then the guy's like, well, actually, I am. I'm like, oh, God, if you have to say
actually,
that you are. That means you're not. Buddy.
I love you, Wyatt.
I know. That's the
I
same
love
thing.
You, bro.
I thought that was so funny. I was like, oh, I love that he didn't listen and just said that because that was so funny.
Honestly, in Wyatt fashion, he probably said that and like 3 days later listened to the episode and went, oh no.
Well, it was funny because he said that and then maybe like 2 hours later or an hour later, he just wrote me a text and goes, love you, man. And I was like, I wonder
what
if he thinks
you
like,
do.
I bet he hasn't heard the episode.
No, he probably, when he heard that part of me saying, hey, don't engage with this guy. He's like, crap, I already did. Love you, Steve.
He heard the first part, paused it,
Wyatt.
Went to go and respond, and then listened to the rest of it. It was like, oh.
Whatever, man. Wait. Wyatt, you rock.
Love you, Wyatt. Well played.
Yeah, that was a fun. It was a great line. And then some other people started getting into it, too. And it just makes you realize the more the guy spoke, the more of an idiot he seemed like.
Is it up to be? Could I read?
You know, I could find it, and we could just kind of quickly go through it. Let's just see.
Oh, okay. I was going to do it on my own time.
Yeah, I mean, it's
This is a guy that got on our Kickstarter and basically lashed out like, oh, yeah, it's a bunch of musicians that have hit the ceiling and a DJ from KSW form an all-star band.
And then he's just trying.
Like, how do any of the real drummers in your projects feel about that?
And the whole thing is just
Steve. It was really hateful, man.
He never said real drummers. That was something that you threw in there, but thanks a lot, Glenn.
See how you really feel, Glenn.
I'm starting,
good job.
I'm starting to see how
it's
it goes.
What he implied.
I didn't hear him write that, man. That was very rude of you.
Okay, so that's
so
what
clearly Glenn doesn't think I'm a real drummer.
Actually, if you listen to the last episode, you'll hear me sing you the highest praises.
I know, I'm just laughing with you. But
I feel really dark now about it's this whole place. Thing, man.
So let's see. Okay, so we have Wyatt writes, I bet you're really fun at parties. And he goes, actually, I am. I just don't buy this new, quote-unquote, aged version of the Seattle scene.
Ugh.
Mind you, he's on his page was pimping a band that was like from the 2000s or whatever. Like he's even made it a point to say, my band's from like 6 years ago, and he still talks about them.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, where is your logic? But whatever.
He's bitter and angry.
Wyatt really responds, luckily we wouldn't sell it to you anyway. Happy face, enjoy your day. Or Hardy.
Hardy emoji.
Then a guy named Jonathan posts a picture screenshot of his band photo with a bunch of crying laughing emojis. Because the picture is not very flattering.
Yeah, I mean, kind of a
it kind of looks like
doofy goth band.
Yeah, it kind of looks like as if that would be the reason why Hot Topic wouldn't let adults to go shop in their store.
Dude.
That's the band that has issues with us, or the drummer.
And then, yeah, and then
I sold that shirt before.
With the mesh one?
Yeah, well, I worked at Hot Topic in 1999.
See, that's what
mesh.
It is.
Mesh.
These guys look like they were banned from Hot Topic.
Don't mess with the mesh, man.
They're like, sir, we can't have adults buy these things. And then he's like, yeah, so he writes back, because the guy didn't even say anything. He goes, yep, we quit almost 6 years ago, and that pick was 10 years ago. Okay. And then Wyatt goes, just remember, all dinosaurs fear the Ice Age. Then Ryan from Stoic FB chimes and he goes, is that the trick? Steve, you want to drum for Stoic FB? Which I thought was funny.
Love those guys. Then amazing band, by the way.
Then the dude tries to chime in again. He goes, let's take this new S-talking level. Maybe we could get on Facebook drama, LOL. And then our buddy Big Rig, Jared, he writes, I'm fun at parties.
I like to party.
Oh, my God.
It just keeps going, dude. It just keeps going.
And it's just him trying to, like half-ass double down and then also try to, like, pander to, like, Facebook drama. And I'm like,
yeah,
this isn't a good Facebook drama, guys.
Yeah, it keeps going, and he keeps going, hey, keep it going. We'll surely end up on Facebook drama. And I was like, no. It's taken everything in my power just to not want to shut it down. But I'm like, I'm not even giving that guy the satisfaction. Let him think he's Mr. Fun, that he thinks he's growing down with all these guys when all of them are just mocking him.
Yeah.
But he thinks like he's part of the fun. It's like, no, none of these people that are writing you, I can read right through the lines. They don't like you,
sir. Yeah,
this
all started because you said something really not
really
nice
mean.
About
right.
our band.
Right.
And yeah.
So it's still, it stopped 3 days ago.
It stopped.
Yeah.
I'm sure after this podcast, we'll.
I'm sure it'll continue. It's just, I mean, dude, let it.
My name's Levi, and I like to party.
I like
to
party.
I'm pretty sure I'm the only one who likes to party here.
No, I actually like to party, Levi.
In fact, you don't like to party.
You guys want
to
hit just one more party?
Just one more party.
Hey, Levi, just one more. I mean, what could go wrong?
Like my testicles.
My dad said he'd drive us, guys. Come on.
No.
It's just, dude, it's funny because I go to that Meltdown Festival and it's a straight up love fest. Like,
yeah, it is.
Honestly, everybody's having the time of their lives and everyone's in good spirits. There's no negativity. At least I wasn't around. We had, like, I overheard a group of people arguing, and it was like the most ridiculous argument. It's like, how come you won't hire me? And the other person says, well, because I party with you and you do a bunch of coke.
Why wouldn't that help our workplace environment?
Then you know that I'm a good worker.
I was like, yeah, you know, if you're trying to get a job from that person, you probably shouldn't be doing like some hardcore drugs with that person too. They might think you're a little off. I don't know.
Unless you're a coke dealer.
Oh, that's a good point. But anyways.
I run a child care facility, man.
Kids love coke. Don't worry about it.
So, and all in all, though, like, the minute I get there, the minute I leave, it's just nothing but hugs and love, and just everyone's in a great mood. And, like, you know, I'm randomly just at one of the concerts that was going on there, and I'm just dancing with a random person. Like, I've never got to dance in the late night time. I'm like, I'll go with you. And next thing you know, I'm just dancing in the late night time with just some random strangers. Cool. But, like, that's the vibe. Everyone's in a good mood. No judgment, no attitudes, no trolls.
I love the fact that there's a place called the Late Night Tent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, that's relevant to my interests, you know? Yes. The late night
tent. One more. You get one more song.
Yeah.
One more song. Next you know, it's 4 a.m.
Next you know, the tent was on fire, man.
Glenn!
I didn't know this tent had a chimney, but yet somehow
can you pull
Glenn
this tent
found
over?
It.
I gotta pee.
Hey, Levi, you think the tent's gonna stop soon?
I gotta pee.
What? You think the tent will stop soon, man? Dude, probably not, Steve. Just pee in the corner, man.
Bro, there are moments in that night where I was like, I peed, I went back, and as soon as I got back, I'm like, I gotta go pee again. I'll see you guys in a minute. Anyways, so everything's great. I come back to work and I'm in this like real happy space. And then of course you check social media, you check text messages. I'm angry people. And I'm just like, man, I do not miss that attitude whatsoever. It was like a major like real life shock. Like, oh, that's right. People are awful. I forgot because I was around a bunch of awesome people for an entire weekend. And now I'm back to around these morons that are on Facebook trying to take shots at a band that's just trying to have a good time and raise enough money to put out a record. Like, oh, I'm sorry that we're a part of this aged music scene because we're writing rock songs. Like, there's nothing aged about rock songs. You
yeah, right.
Ask. Sorry. But he says something about the current incarnation of this music scene, which...
He's bitter.
He's bitter.
Super bitter. Yeah. His band never made it, or if they did, they didn't make it far enough, and he's upset about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think he does for a living?
Right, just feeds people's
spews
butts.
Bile and hatred into the world
for a living.
Yeah. Oh, insurance adjuster.
Yeah, he works as
insurance adjuster,
and has a part-time job at the DMV
for the win. Yeah. I'm the guy that has the mop down at Deja Vu.
I haven't been able to find a job since then.
So you had a bad day.
Let's check out another voicemail.
Oh man.
Hey guys, it's your buddy Kenny. Sorry, better known as Hunter's Dad. Steve's going to fill in everybody on how cute my son is.
I
wanted to put some food for thought out there.
Okay.
And ask you guys, which one of you guys dips your French fries into your Wendy's frosting?
I don't.
Okay, now follow my logic on this.
Okay.
So, science tells us that tomatoes are a fruit. Wisdom tells us that you don't put tomatoes in your fruit salad. So this drives me to ask you guys, if a tomato is a fruit, does that make ketchup a smoothie? And if so, what's so wrong with putting a smoothie on a hot dog if you're dipping French fries into your frosting?
No, don't put ketchup on your hot dog.
Hopefully this settles the whole does ketchup belong on a hot dog debate.
Yeah, I just
or give you guys something to talk about. All right, guys, have a good one.
Drugs are bad, okay?
I was so lost. I thought he was talking about pouring Frosty on a hot dog because sometimes you dip your French fries in your Frosty, and I'm like, a Frosty poured on a hot dog sounds terrible to me.
Yep.
Sounds like my uncle at like Thanksgiving where he just mashes everything up together anyways.
All going down the same place. Yeah. My wife thinks it's funny because I'm like the exact extreme opposite. So if like she gives me a plate of dinner, like a good woman shouldn't, I'm just kidding. But like when she brings her plate of dinner over, and if I like, start like it's like the salad or like some kind of like whatever starts leaking into the sandwich or whatever,
done.
I start immediately separating them. She's like, oh, I'm so like she gets worried. She's like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't. I know that you hate it. I'm like, I'm not mad about it, but
Steve needs a sectional
plate. He's like red. He's red and physically shaking.
I'm not mad about it.
And then I just throw the plate against the wall, and I say, never again. My taters touched my grits.
Do you understand this is wrong? But I'm that guy. Like, I don't like everything mixing. Like, I love those plates that have the walls.
Individual tastes.
Yeah, like the little...
You need the sectional plate.
Yes.
Yeah, the toddler plate.
Or when you were a kid and you got, like, those turkey dinners.
Yes.
And everything was sectioned off. That, to me, is heaven on earth.
We most of the time, we cook everything in a giant, like, just in one pan. Like, we throw everything into it, like, and we'll just throw everything into a bowl. I would rather just eat everything in a bowl and just mix it all up together. You're a communist in my
mind. No, see, I'm kind of with Steve. I'm kind of... Yeah, call me bastard. I'm kind of with Steve. Like, I like the items separated on my plate so I can taste them individually.
Mm-hmm.
But what's funny to me is even though I like that, it then becomes hard to believe that I enjoy sandwiches. Because sandwiches are pretty much...
Yeah, just mushing everything together.
Right?
Yeah, and I love sandwiches too.
So it's like if I put turkey and lettuce and tomatoes separately on a plate, you wouldn't want them to touch each other.
Right.
But if I added bread to this equation and made it a stack, you would say thank you.
Bread is the glue. It's the United Nations of our eating system.
Brings everything together.
So don't put Frosty on your hot dogs.
No, and don't put ketchup on a hot dog. Come on, guys.
That, I have to disagree, you communist.
Oh, God. Just use
ketchup
mustard.
Ketchup is delicious. I
mustard
use both.
On a sausage is exactly what you should do.
Well, now, wait, ketchup to and me, mustard. There's a difference between a hot dog and a sausage.
Yeah, yes, there is.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the same. It's tomato,
it's not
tomato.
The same. No, it's different. It's sausage, it's hot dog.
I'm kind of a ketchup, mustard, pickle, relish guy, dude. I am.
I'll put ketchup and mustard on my hamburger. Do you put ketchup on your hamburger?
Yes.
Why it's is different. That different than a hot dog?
Because
they're both meat.
A hamburger
ketchup
is a
doesn't
sandwich.
Go on ham.
A hot dog is different.
Do you dip There's your no hamburger in a Frosty?
No. No.
Does anyone dip their french fries in a Frosty?
I don't.
I've done that
Cortland
before.
Does. Yeah. Okay. Cortland, what is it? Is it? I don't even
it's
know
lovely.
What it tastes like.
You get the salty with the chocolate. It's good.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. And I don't really like the french fries.
You don't like french fries?
Probably Wendy's french fries or french fries in general?
It's like McDonald's.
She's not feeling french fries in general.
Oh, my gosh. I wish I had that problem. I'd probably be like at least 30 pounds lighter.
I wish I didn't french like fries. Whiskey. Yeah.
I wish I hated pretzels and french fries. Oh, that would be awesome. Now I'm hungry. This
yeah, now Steve just got distracted.
Kyle writes us and says, in the issue of homelessness in Seattle, $11.5 million is epic. Way to go, Pearl Jam. That's right, Pearl Jam, already.
That's right.
Well, that was 2 weeks ago when the stats came in, and tomorrow's the big home show.
Wow.
The first of two, and then there's Friday. But as of last week, they raised $11.5 million. So I'd love to hear a discussion. Let's go deep about the outside view of homeless grapevines. I'm from Montana, have family in California. The consensus right now is that Seattle offers such an easy system of assistance. The word of mouth has been attracting homeless people to inhabit Seattle and take the easy route. Or to say, Seattle has the most freebies in the West. The point hasn't come up very much officially, so who better than the Migs cast and the wretched band of Titanic douches? Much love, stay positive from our buddy Sturgis.
That is true. I think I told you guys I mixed that one meeting, and they were talking about people literally come here to be homeless because the programs are so incredible.
Yeah.
That's why it got out of control. As word got out, Seattle was a great place to be homeless.
And it's that weird sort of like duality of it is like, yeah, we need to help these homeless people. But it's the awkwardness of then suddenly everybody coming here.
Well, it's people.
To
are,
hang
people
out?
Are taking like the tents, the sanctioned tent cities. They even do drug testing and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's the people taking advantage of the amenities that have no interest in taking part of.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these people are in these programs to try and get off the street and get and a lot. I've heard some amazing success stories. It's really cool. But these are the cats that are like, dude, if we hover 80 yards away, we can use all this stuff.
Yeah, and, exactly. Yeah. And that's usually the problems that I've heard about.
Yeah,
those,
that's what's going on.
Yeah, we see it outside of our building. I mean, this is, as soon as they clean up all the tents, more pop up. And remember, it used to be Portland was known as the place where a lot of homeless people are. But when I went to Portland for the Defy show and walked around the area, it felt like Seattle 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Where
really?
It was, I mean, there's some homeless people, but it was relatively clean.
Yep.
It didn't seem as bad. And also, it's a lot more affordable. And I think that's the problem we're having right now is not only are we having more people coming because of the assistance and just the things work to their advantage. But on top of that, there are some people that would really like not to be homeless, but it's impossible to live in Seattle.
Oh, it
is. And if you have a couple bad months, you lose your job. I mean, that is the inevitable. It's,
well, they have the working homeless now too.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's just, it's a tough time, man.
I think that was like a month or so ago. I was down on Holgate. You know where the Paseo's there on First Ave?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was walking between 5th and 1st. I had parked over on 5th, and I was working. I was going to get a bunch of sandwiches for Uber Eats, and there is a little tent tarp community right there, not quite Occidental. I guess it would be Occidental there behind Paseo. But, yeah, there was a kid was maybe 23 years old laying on the sidewalk dead.
Yeah, I remember you telling us about that. Yeah,
right there on Holgate, man. Like
it's
down
awful.
And I'm like, what? And I walk up and I look and I'm like, oh yeah, that guy's dead. And I've lived here a long time. I've never seen anything like that before. It just didn't happen in Seattle, at least not in Soto, not on Holgate.
In Belltown
just
too.
Right there, it's, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I was talking with someone, Misha, the lady that took all the pictures of us for the Save Showbox campaign.
Yeah.
And shout out to her for doing that and being a part of such a really cool art slash.
Is that where those photos came from of everyone holding with the logo?
Yeah, she came to the station and she's doing a whole photo gallery of people writing their messages about the show box.
How do I get in on that?
They're doing another one. I wish it would have been done today. Then it would have been perfect because we've been here. They're doing like an open house one. Oh, man. It's at KXP in the next couple of days. If I give me a second, I'll definitely be able to find it.
See, you have to hold up a personal message. Are they, how much will they censor you? Because I wanted to say, like, you know, attention, fat cats. I know where you live. I've seen where you sleep. I'm crazy and patient. Well, I wanted my sign to say that.
They might frown on that.
They might frown on that.
Yeah, so the next one is happening.
It kind of bums me out a little bit inside. I thought it would be great.
If you go to
I'm crazy and patient. You know? I mean, come on.
Save the Showbox Portrait Project. It's on Facebook. But the next one is at KEXP Studios, which is 472 First Avenue North. And that's going to be happening on August 14th, which is... A week from today, from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. So if you're in the area, just pop in. It says, come share your opinion, have your portrait taken to help preserve the show box.
And, nice.
That's what they're doing. So yeah, you can make that happen on Tuesday, August 14th, from 4 to 8 p.m. Again, it's at KXP Studios, which is in Lower Queen Anne, right by the Key Arena and all that fun
stuff. Yeah, it's where Vera Project and stuff was.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to give a shout out once again to Misha. I mean, the lady that's been putting this all together.
That's awesome.
Misha Dumois, and I know her man works at the Showbox. A lot of people that work at the Showbox sent me a message saying how much they appreciate not only because I hit her up because I saw our buddy Neil Lim Sang have a picture, the photographer, who's just an incredible photographer. I'm like, hey man, I don't know if you're in charge of that project or not, but like I think it'd be pretty cool to help get more exposure. If maybe you guys took some pictures of our station employees and the end, and he's like, I love it. Let me pass it on to Misha. And she's like, are you serious? Like, really? That's an option?
I'm
like,
Misha and her man Joel go back.
Yeah, Joel's awesome.
Yeah, they go back decades in this city, in this scene. Yeah. Misha's actually a hell of an artist.
Yeah, I think she's a tattoo artist as well. Yeah, she's a super sweet person. I never met her before. And Joel, I knew of him, but I never really talked to him. And he came by yesterday, too, and could be a nicer guy.
Oh, he's a sweet guy.
But yeah, so she's like, yeah, we'd love to. So I hit up people here at the station, said, hey, if you got time, come down with a little note and let's take some pictures. And we did it right over here. And it's really cool to have that out there. So just check our Facebook pages. You can see those things. But it's just another way to just try and get the word out about what's going on with the Showbox. Because it's just, but like I brought it up because I was talking with Misha and she's just like, yeah, there's areas that I used to feel completely comfortable walking around in the middle of the night. And it's just not the same anymore. It's just, we live in a whole new world here in Seattle. It's very
different.
I still
think Seattle's a very safe, clean city. Just the homeless thing blew up in a way that, you know, it was like a year or so. Not quite. Well, it would have been about a year ago when the Spokane Street Bridge, that was like a city.
Yeah.
You know, they fenced all that off, but it was literally a city that spawned the entire bridge. It was a city. I remember that because my pop was visiting last March, and I was like, you want to see something crazy? And I drove him down the length of that, and he was like, oh my God. I'm like, yeah, this wasn't even there 6 months ago, Dad. It's really weird. Like, weird, weird, crazy, weird, man.
It's a weird time, man.
Yeah.
It is.
All right. So I think that's about it. Levi, as always, it's great
to
see you, my
me.
Friend.
Love it. Can't wait for the summer to be over. We're just going to kick some butt the rest of this August and September.
We will definitely see you at Pain in the Grass and hopefully at Jazz Bones as well and all the stuff that's going on with what you're doing. It's great to see you, my man. You know, we love you.
Much love. Thank you.
And cheers, thanks, bro. James and Cortland as well. Thank you guys. As always, thanks for the goodies.
Yeah.
You guys always come.
Thank you guys so much. It's so awesome.
Stuff that numbs our brains.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here, I just want to make it a point. I know lots of stuff is going on to put in your calendar, but we do have some really cool shows coming up. In addition to Pain in the Grass, Louis G's on August 17th. That's the next Bruiser Brody show. I'm very excited about that. And I think we're even going to get a practice or two in before this show.
So there's been some discussion.
We might be firing on all cylinders to get ready for that Pain in the Grass show as well.
Then you're going
to
get a pizza and then try to go up there and play?
Yes.
that's right. Yeah.
Food
that's
coma.
That's how we do it.
So we're playing with 10 Miles Wide, Dirty.
And the guy that hit us up, and I can't remember
his band name. I was just talking to him, too, how excited I am to be able to play a show with them.
Well, now we're going
to
give him tons of love because... Yeah, I only knew about 10 Miles and Dirty initially, so that's sort of, I feel...
Let's see, 10 Miles Wide, Bruiser Brody, Dirty, and Dead Set.
Yeah, there you go, Dead Set.
Oh,
sweet.
It's an all-ages show.
Nice.
Too. That's very cool. So if you are under the age of 21 and you've been like, damn it, I have not been able to see Bruiser Brody, you now can see us.
Nice.
So that's on Friday night, August 17th. That all starts at 8 p.m. You can just go to
Facebook or ticketfly.com, get tickets or information along those lines. But I'm excited also just to see 10 Miles Wide.
Yeah. Been a minute.
Oh, I didn't know they have a new bassist.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, Ryan, I think Ryan was slowly transitioning out of the project, actually.
Oh,
that was
okay.
That was all kind of very on the DL, but I think the cat's out of the bag now.
Well, it's on their Facebook invite.
So I'd say the cat's out of the bag.
10 Miles Wide's first show with new bassist Matt Bentley from Devil's Hunt Me Down.
Cool.
So there
cool.
you go. So that's very, very cool. So, and then also they'll feature their super sweet buddies in Bruiser Brody, Dirty Dirty, and Dead Set from Tacoma.
Nice. From Tacoma.
And then the next day, just when you thought you couldn't get enough of Glenn,
there's
the sweet licks.
Four.
August 18th.
Jazz Bones will be our tour kickoff party.
Yes.
And yeah, we're with Dead Rebel Saints and I think Antihero. Is that right?
Nice.
I believe you're right. Yes.
I think that's
like
the
first time I saw Antihero was with the Bruiser Brody show, and I was blown away.
Those guys rock.
Yeah, they
just
do.
Kill it, man.
Yep. It's
Antihero and Dead Rebel Saints.
Yep.
Dude, it's a rock and roll show, man. It's gonna be a great time. Dead Rebel Saints are killer. Antihero is killer. Windowpane will try desperately to keep up with those two bands.
Yep, I know you hit your ceiling, but I think you can get past it. Jazz Bones has got a high ceiling, so it should be a good show.
It's
two levels. You're fine.
They got that second level.
You're safe.
Yeah, I hit the ceiling 10 years ago, man.
That's very awesome. And then if you want to see some wrestling in Marysville on August 19th at 6 p.m., I'm going to be wrestling at the skate place in Marysville, wherever that is.
Local celebrity.
Aren't you That's a right. villain this time?
Yes, this is me. With CPW, I'm a bad guy. A heel. Local celebrity, Steve Miggs from luxurious Puyallup, Washington. Can we take him on that jerk, that goof, that loser?
Ooh, harsh words.
Oh, he's a friend of mine. Chase James from Spokane.
I can hear the vitriol in your voice there.
That's right. CPW, New Dawn. If you just go to CPW's Facebook page, you can get all the information. But big debut at the Marysville Skate Center, and it's on August 19th, 6 p.m., first bell at 6:30. $10 donation encouraged, but it's free, so if you're a cheap ass, because you know most people in Marysville are, I'm starting my heel stuff.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. Look at that. Look at that.
Oddly mirrors his actual feelings.
So make sure when you show up to Boomy.
Boo! No problem, Steve.
Boo!
You cheap asses.
Just hurl lawn darts at him. It's
all good. No!
Yeah.
No. They probably do have lawn darts.
Come bring it.
Bring it.
I'm so pumped, man.
I should specify vintage lawn darts.
Yeah, right.
Yes, Nerf lawn darts. Please. Nerf. So that'd be pretty awesome. It's the big debut for CPW in Marysville. I know they're very nervous that it's going to go well because obviously it's a new venue, a new spot. But I'm excited because it's going to be a blast, and I'm pumped because I'm going to be wrestling there. So that'll be fun. All right, I think that's everything.
Yeah.
I think we got everything in.
That yes, we did.
Yes. So that week,
you guys
August,
all got to meet my dad.
Dude, he was fantastic.
Yeah. Big thanks to Big Raj.
Yeah. Glad you still have your nuts, Glenn.
One of them. I'll tell you about learning what test tape. Well, no, they're both there. They're stunt ball. But the day I learned what a suture was, I'll tell you that story on another cast.
Cliffhanger.
Yeah. Well, as I explain what I can't even talk now.
Testicles
is the Greek god of all things fragile yet manly.
Hopefully we'll see you at the Pearl Jam shows, too. Big home shows. That's going to be happening Wednesday night and Friday night. I cannot wait. That's going to be fun. There's a lot of stuff going on, man.
Yeah.
This Wednesday?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, dude.
Oh.
How about that? And then this upcoming Friday. Well, I'm going to get out of here.
You guys go enjoy.
Because there's a big pop-up tent that's opening up right now.
Uh-oh.
Outside of Safeco Field. I'm going to try and buy some Pearl Jam merch. So see you guys and stay positive.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.